And we
Good.
Does it tell you?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know. I had no idea. All right.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Telly.
It's Zach.
Tony. Fuck. Let's do this over.
Yeah. Let's start over.
Hey guys, what's up? It is Telly. This is another episode of the TWA Family Hour. I got my boy Zach.
What up?
Tony.
Hello.
And Matt.
How's it going, guys?
We are going to have a couple special guests from our Patreon members list. One of the perks that we have, and one of them is you get to be a guest on our podcast. So we come up with different subjects to speak about. We've done a few of them so far. Today we are going to be talking about favorite show memories.
Which is
going
to be hard, I feel like.
Yeah. There's so many.
So many, dude.
Yeah.
There's like a few that stick out in my head, and I'm like interested to see which ones stick out in your guys' head. You know? Yeah. So I think it'll be kind of cool.
Yeah,
and especially for Paula.
I've got a couple, yeah.
Yeah, I know Paula's going to have, I feel like I'm foreseeing her talking about the show that we played in Poland with Make Them Suffer. So. And
That was a good night.
That was a really sick show.
Yeah, and I have a vlog.
She was on stage.
Yeah.
She was like the stage manager,
literally.
Yeah. She was security and everything.
She was security, yeah, for real.
So just a little background. Paula is definitely one of the most diehard TWA fans in the entire world. She basically started the TWA family, like Twitters. Like she's always starting fan pages, and she is one of the mods on the TWA fan club, the Word Alive group on Facebook. She organizes a lot of bands who come to Poland. She organizes like friends making sure they're going to the show to support bands. She keeps up with, you know, whose album is available in whatever areas around Poland so that people are constantly discovering new music. She's just awesome. She's been a fan of the band for 10 years.
I've seen her tweet about, hey, this place has 15 copies of Monomania right now. And I'm like,
yeah.
Whoa. Like, how do you find this stuff?
I've said so many times, I'm like, she knows some information that I'm like, I don't even know. And I don't even know how you found that.
Yeah, dude.
She maybe we'll ask her some if she
how
like
she goes
what
about
she does. Yeah.
I feel like she at least posts one thing about the band every day.
Yeah.
On one of her like day. Social, yeah. you know, outlets.
For years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like pretty amazing to have a fan like that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
She takes it very serious, which is cool.
Well, is she in the waiting room?
She's in here waiting. I'll bring her in.
Let's pop her in.
Pop her in.
Pop her on in here.
Hi.
What's up, Paula? How you doing?
There she is.
Hello. Hello.
How are you?
I am good. And you?
Fantastic.
Yeah, very wonderful. Good.
Yeah.
What's the world looking like over there in Poland right now?
A little bit better.
Good.
So
nice.
Is it freezing cold right now?
Cold.
Yeah.
Nice. It's cold here, dude. It's been raining all day in
it's
Arizona.
It's cold today, yeah.
Really?
It's freezing.
Dang.
It was a nice change of pace, man, because it's been like
hot. For
real. Well, I mean, it's been beautiful, actually. Something hot. It's just been like too good for the winter time. It's like 70 degrees every day, and then it gets colder at night, but it's like perfect to just like, do anything during the daytime.
Yeah, last night I was playing Cyberpunk until the early morning, late morning, but like I had my speakers blasting, and then I like paused it for a second because I was like, all right, I need to disengage for like 5 minutes and like go eat, and I had my window open, and it's just pouring rain outside, and I'm like, what? Where did this come from? Like, usually in Arizona, it's a big deal if it's going to rain. So it's like, usually you hear about it from someone or something. And then to just like have it randomly rain, I'm like, oh, awesome. So I open my window all the way and it smells like rain in my house. It's really nice.
Yeah. I was just thinking the other day because I think it was 2 days ago, maybe not yesterday, but maybe 2 days ago, it was 80 or 82 degrees here in LA. And I'm like, what the hell is happening? I'm like, it doesn't feel like Christmas is about to happen. Not even just, I mean, 2012 or 2020 obviously has felt like the song 2012.
It's felt like the longest week.
Well, that, yeah, but it just, it's warm and it doesn't feel true. Like it's, I don't know, like the lack of, it's just been like summer for 6 months.
Mm-hmm. That's and, like kind of the downfall. I feel like that's the kind of downfall of living, the little downfall of living in the West Coast is that at least in LA and Arizona, I feel like we don't really get any seasons or anything dramatic. Yeah. They have to go travel to find
normally
it.
Normally we do. Normally, like November,
does, I feel like.
It's hitting yeah, like 30 something degrees at night, low 40s, but it's like 50 degrees usually. Like tonight's low is 46, and like that's like the low. But normally, like it gets pretty cold. It's just not been like that at all. Yeah. And we're not getting any rain or anything. So it's just like endless summer. But, anyways. Paula, what time is it there for you? It's nighttime,
midnight?
Right? Yeah, midnight. Well, thank you so much for
thank you
staying up not to do bad. This.
I thought it was going to be like 4 a.m.
You're welcome.
Well, today we're talking about favorite show memories. Obviously, we have some with you, but we wanted to ask first what your favorite show memory is. It doesn't have to be The Word Alive, by the way. I'm sure you've seen a lot of amazing shows.
3 years ago, I was for the first time to see Evanescence.
Ooh. Evanescence. Oh,
damn. Cool.
I would love to see them live, too.
What's that song? What's the song?
Bring Me to Life.
Wake Me Up.
Wake me up inside.
Did they play that last?
And yes, they play it there in Poland for the first time.
Okay. They closed out with Wake Me Up?
No, they played a lot of old songs.
Okay.
Like they had a bunch of good songs.
True.
They really did.
Let me pull up their top
songs.
I honestly
don't know any other song by them. Maybe
I remember a bunch of them.
If you heard them, you'd be like, oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
okay. Evanescence.
So many bangers.
Yeah, dude. They have that one song, Bring Me to Life. Going Under, bro. They do have some smash hits. I forgot. Everyone talks about that song with 12 Stones, that Wake Me Up song or whatever.
Yeah.
Is that the one?
Well, what made it so special for you? Was it just, you know, the waiting to be able to see them for so long?
Yes, because I'm listening to them since I was a kid.
Ah, yeah.
So
there's a lot of build up to it.
I saw them for the first time, and I got a ticket for my birthday.
Cool.
That's awesome.
That's very cool. Yeah. That's very cool.
I feel like seeing a band you've loved since you were a kid, like there's just something special about that. I felt that way about Linkin Park, Deftones, like bands that I had started listening to in middle school. And Limp Bizkit, the first time I saw them, I'm like, they're even better live. I'm like, this is so sick.
Yeah, they're really good live.
Incubus, I feel like a lot of those bands, like that era of music, like, yeah, Incubus, like all those bands, I feel like are better live than their records.
Well, because those bands had to be good live at that time. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like that's at that time, like, do record labels do this anymore where they like go to a show before, like maybe they've heard on the radar that this band kills it and they go to a show and watch them live?
Oh, like a showcase or
No, like randomly, like I heard about this band, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to go check them out. And they're like, this band's sick. I feel like that was way more prominent in like,
it was way more prominent.
Go check your Spotify numbers and your YouTube numbers and all that. Yeah, you know,
that's like it still happens, but it's more few and far between.
Probably
in comparison to back.
I'm not sure if it's as important as it is like the numbers, you know.
Yeah, all those bands. Yeah. Like, I don't know the story of Evanescence, but I'm sure. I have a feeling that I'm sure like they got some hired people on that band, like, you know, or who knows? Sure. I don't know. I would think that they hired some musicians for that band.
Amy Lee is so good.
She's amazing. Incredible. She's a great singer. She is a writer,
piano player. Like, she's so good.
But that was how it was for me for Incubus. Like, Incubus was like a huge, they're one of my favorite bands, like top three for sure. And I've listened to them since I was 10 or 11 years old, and I didn't see them live until I was like, whew, I must have been like 27 or something. Dang. When I saw them. I won't get into the details, but I had a great time there, and it was awesome. And
wait, yeah. was your first time seeing Incubus when we saw Incubus?
No, that was my second time.
Oh, okay.
That was my second time, but we did similar things before we went. I don't know if my parents will see this.
Music enhancing.
Yes.
Experience.
Yes. Yep.
It. Yeah. You know what? That Incubus show that we went to was definitely one of the most memorable shows I've been to as a fan. Mm-hmm. The rainstorm
that was so crazy.
Out of nowhere,
that inspired a lot for Violent Noise.
And the fan that took us home, like, yeah. And like gave us a ride back. Yeah.
So it literally started. It was like a monsoon rain. It wasn't just like, oh, it's raining a little bit. It was like crazy pouring rain, lightning. They had to stop the show. They tried to restart it. I think they did for a while,
and then they
shut it back down. And then it was just, I mean, what, 15,000 people or whatever that holds.
I think it was Cricket Pavilion, right? I think it is like 18.
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah. But it was like.
Auction,
yeah, though. Yeah, yeah.
I just called it.
It was a lot of people trying to leave at the same time from like a lightning rainstorm. And some of us got separated. We went into this bathroom, and then some fans were like, "Are you guys the word alive?" And it was just like destiny. And we were trying to get Ubers, and it was like $200 or something like insane. And we're like, "Fuck!" And they're like, "We'll take you wherever you want to go." And we're like, it's pretty far. It's like, I think it was like 45 minutes or something like that. And they're like, it doesn't matter. We like cram into their car. I think there were, what's it called? Who, like someone sat in like a baby seat or something.
There, we were crammed into a car, like jam packed. Yeah.
I don't remember. I think I sat on it or.
Yeah.
It was someone. So, yeah. There was like, they had like a little, like, yeah. What is it called?
I don't know what it's called, but it's the baby seat you strap into a car.
A car seat.
Yes. Yeah. Car seat. Yeah.
Just a baby's car seat. Like, and like, we were.
I can put that in the trunk. Tony's like, no, I'll just sit in it.
It's all good. I'll just sit on it.
We were all just smashed. I was like, let's just get the hell out of here. It was raining so hard.
Of course, soaking wet.
Never rains in Arizona, and it rains that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's actually what inspired the Pardon Me cover was that night.
Yep.
Because we were going to do Avril Lavigne, weren't we?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We have that. Complicated. We have the start of it, and which that song probably would have ended up being pretty cool too. But I'm glad we did the Incubus one because it was just like we got back and we're like, we have to do an Incubus song because we all just had such a crazy good time. The vibe was just so high. We got back to the studio and it was just like, let's do this. And I remember we were recording. Me and Matt Good went to Vince's house, like we were like, we're gonna sleep for like an hour or two. Never went to sleep. Came back to the studio, finished vocals at like 8 in the morning or something like that. It was chaotic. So we did. I think we tracked almost all of that song just like after the show.
That's awesome.
And just like a moment in time where we were just all just having so much fun. And
I remember I showed up to do drums for that one, and that was the same day Sincerely Collins came to the studio and did Human
as well. Oh, yeah.
He showed up like as I was finishing tracking Pardon Me on drums.
Hell yeah.
One of the one days I remember like vividly in that studio. For some reason, like all of Violent Noise escapes me.
There's a lot of blurry.
Yeah.
A lot of blurry days.
Yeah.
For Violent Noise.
Even on the podcast where we talked about it, I was like, I don't remember a lot of this studio time. I don't think I was there as much, though. But yeah, I was also working.
I don't think you were. Yeah, you weren't there as much, obviously, as Monomania. But I think, like, the fact that you're all, like, crammed in a small, like, control room, it's I don't know. I think there's just something about like having the space of like being able to like absorb everything. I feel like your memories. Yeah, it's like you can have more memories, but when you're, it's just like, all right, I sat in this spot and then I sat in this
for 12 hours.
Yeah, it's like it's harder to remember like what day what happened versus another day because it all kind of like felt the same in a way.
Yeah.
But I mean, we had some really great times recording that record.
Yeah.
Well, Paula, what was your favorite thing about? Because obviously we had so much fun when we were in Poland last time. We got the headline for our very first time there. It was an insanely packed show, which we owe you a lot of thanks for all the hard work and promotion you do in your area and your whole country for that matter. But what was your favorite memory about that show?
When you took the flag on the stage.
Uh-huh. Polish pride.
That you know what my favorite memory was from it? It was my birthday that night in Poland.
It was Matt's 21st birthday.
My tour. Yeah. It was my 21st birthday.
Yeah.
And wow. I remember I felt so bad because it was hot in there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was a small room. It was pretty cramped. And your boy sweats, dude. It was when I had the long hair. And I think, like, it was might have been like day 3 or 4 of these show clothes. So on that tour, Telly had this thing where it was someone randomly, it was their 21st birthday every show night of that tour. And he had the crowd surf whoever that person was to the bar and back. So it was mine. And I was just like, oh my God, like dripping sweat. I had long hair at the time. And it was just like, soaked, and I was like, oh my God, are you guys? I'm like, I'll just walk, it's fine. They're like, no, we'll carry you. And I was like, all right. So I just jumped up there and they carried me to the bar, and I'm just soaking wet, dude. And then one of the guys is like, you smell very bad. I was like, I know, dude, I'm sorry, I didn't want to do this. I told you I would walk.
You know what's funny is one of the reasons I picked that show for you was for that reason, because I'm like, they will love us so much that they will do this, like, but in certain countries they'd be like,
no, maybe not.
I'll go buy you a drink, you stay there.
So
everyone just kind of like played into the fun of the night. That was the I bar don't was know far, if you guys remember too. Yeah, it was in another room
around the corner.
Yeah. That was the one where the backstage was kind of not the most ideal, but there was that really creaky door,
that legendary door
that that's like, to me, like being like slapstick, like you haven't slept in days. Like that was like that day, because it was a bus drop, like, and everyone was so tired. And then there's this really, really old door in the very back of the venue that we're in, this like room. And it's just the creakiest door of all time. And we were just cracking up laughing, which looking back, I'm like, it was funny, but I'm like, I'm sure it was way more funnier because we were all completely exhausted.
Losing it. Yeah. It creaked for, honestly, if you could open the door so slow, you could take at least 3 minutes opening this door and it would creak so loud the entire time. It was.
Yeah. There's I think Jaya has a Booka bunch of videos.
Yeah.
Oh, Booka has it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was a good show. That was fun.
That was fun.
It was not my first time. Oh, we played
with Asking.
Yeah, with Asking there.
Yes, with Asking.
Yeah. And that was Insanity.
Yeah, that was the last show of that tour, actually, too.
That's what like made us headline. Like that show, we were like, we have to come back here and headline.
Yeah, that was the biggest crowd on that whole tour of people that like knew who we were. Because I feel like a lot of those Asking shows, people had just heard us for the first time.
It was like a small like arena kind of thing, or I don't know what it was, but it was pretty big. It was like bleachers and stuff.
It was
stuff
like a
in it.
Better Nile.
Yeah.
It was like kind of more narrow and
it was cool.
Stage was totally different than the Nile, though.
It was like a big. It was like half of a basket. I felt like it was like one the seating of a half side of the basketball court. You know what I mean? Wasn't it? They had like little bleachers and stuff.
That's Bulgaria.
Never mind. I'm confused. Yeah. Sorry.
Which was a crazy show as well.
That was crazy.
That one was crazy.
Oh, is that where Asking was late? They got stuck at the border, Bulgaria. That was a
big show. Afterwards,
yeah, that was
in the lights. That was the first one where like it was like 3,000 people and the lights were just everyone in the crowd. It's one of my favorite photos. Like,
I can't remember Poland then on the Asking tour for some reason.
It was like a big metal grate at the front, and we had to load drums up the front of it. And the stage was really small with all of Asking's production, so it was like super hard to stash everything that day. And like, it was one of those days where Telly had like this much room in the front of the stage, and I was just up in there. And I just remember the big metal grate, the crowd, the barrier. And then it was a big staircase up the side into it. Yeah.
It was such a fun show.
Oh, yeah. I'll take
it. It was last day. It was like an in and out day, too. There was not a lot of like hanging out that happened that day.
Oh, I remember now. Okay. Yes. I remember now. Like there was a stairs. You had to go down a bunch of stairs or something.
Big stairs to load. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
on the outside of the building.
Yeah. That was sweet. That was a really good show. I remember now.
Yeah.
Well, Paula, do you have any questions for us while we have you on here?
Yes. Did you get anything crazy from fans?
In Poland or just in general in life?
In general.
Yeah, I got this. Hold on. Look at this shit. Let me explain this.
No.
She said no.
No.
This is the worst fucking thing anyone's ever sent me in my entire life. It's called, Jessica, if you're listening, it's called Bean Boozled. And it's Jelly Bellies, but it could be one of two flavors. There's a good flavor and there's a bad one. So, like, there's birthday cake or dirty dishwater, peach or barf, Tutti Frutti or Stinky Socks, coconut or spoiled milk. Like, so I did one of them, a couple of them on stream, and I took them off because it's so disgusting. Like, really? I got the barf one, and it tastes like stomach bile. It's awful. It's
that is a terrible gift. Funny, though. My God. But I would never do that.
Yeah. No, I don't do it anymore. I took it
off. Five subs.
We got the pop action figures that a fan made us that are like some of the coolest things. That's one of the coolest things.
Oh, the Funko Pops, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So cute.
I'm really proud of this. This is like the coolest, one of the coolest gifts I've ever
gotten. Yeah.
We've gotten a bunch of cool ones. I don't know what the weirdest one would be. I'm trying to think.
Mine from Poland?
No. Someone has probably done something real weird, and I just have blocked it out of my mind.
Yeah, I haven't really gotten anything weird. It's always seemed,
you remember the like, one time thoughtful. The fan came and told us about the that they've been watching him and following him. And
that actually jumped into my head for some reason too.
Yeah, that was terrifying. He gave us a weird experience, which is weirder, just as weird as anything he physically could have given us.
Pennsylvania, I remember. Yeah. During VIP, I was drum teching at the time.
No, Sacramento.
Sacramento.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Sacramento.
Like, aren't you?
It was the day where I had lost my voice completely, and it didn't. Was it the Get Real tour? And it didn't come back until literally like 2 minutes before we went on stage, and it ended up being like a really sick show. But he was just standing side stage, like he had disappeared after meet and greet, and we thought he like left, and we had talked to security. Like that's how bad it was and weird. Like,
that was the first time I feel like that was the first time our band has ever felt like someone may do something harmful to us.
Yeah.
At our own show, it was
us scary. Themselves, other fans, their family, or something. Like he said terrifying. Some crazy shit. We'll have to save that for a different.
That's a whole different
podcast.
Yeah, I didn't hear. I didn't hear what he was saying. I just heard what you guys said because I was standing on the back and it was Luke Holton, right?
Yeah, Holton was TMing.
Yeah.
It was a gnarly experience, but yeah, I mean, no one's given that I can remember. Something so weird that it would have stood out. Like no one's been like, "Hey, here's a lock of my hair," like
with
no one's done that.
Yeah. We're really fortunate. I feel like we really get a lot of like thoughtful things from fans, you know, if they're drawings or, you know, like little keychains, which I think I still have on my lanyard, and
wall flags.
Yeah. Wall flags and just a bunch of cool stuff. I mean,
I actually have the TWA Poland flag hanging in my room. I'm not in my room right now. Otherwise I'd show you, but I have it hanging up next to a couple other flags the fans have given us from other countries. Awesome. Yeah.
Oh my God. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a question for you. So you do so much to help promote, you know, our band in Poland, and you know, like, there are 7 copies of this CD left at this store. And so like, what do you do? What's an average day look like for you where you're trying to like help a band? Like what are your goals? And you know, what are some things that you do? Because honestly, you've like learned some stats and some random things that like we didn't even know at times. And so what's your process like when you're trying to, you know, start like supporting a band?
Oh, first I am checking if any band has any social media in Poland, someone who cares about them, then creating.
So you make the Poland page for that band.
Okay. Yes. Like TWA Poland.
Yeah.
And whatever band.
Cool. Because like there's been times where you've tweeted about like how many CDs are at a certain store. And I'm like, how do you find that out? What do you do? Do you call them? Or?
No. On Amp Shop, there always is how many CDs are left.
Mm. Okay. Oh, okay.
On Ampic, I always have no idea how many are left. And I was surprised when I saw that your CDs are available on Ampic in Poland, because many bands don't have CDs in Poland.
I wonder if we do, like, because of you. Because it feels like a lot of people probably buy our albums in Poland because you're, like, buy their album.
You may.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, that's cool. You're going above and beyond for a lot of bands, and that's really cool to see. And we definitely appreciate you doing that for us, because, I mean,
absolutely,
you definitely don't have to, but, you know, just your, motivation to do it is really cool. So,
yeah,
we appreciate it.
Definitely very awesome.
Pretty thoughtful.
All right. Well, we've got one more person after you. So, do you have any other questions before we let you go?
No, I don't have.
All right. Well,
awesome.
It's been awesome talking to you.
Thank you for staying up. Yeah.
Thank you, Paula.
Yeah, thanks for coming on.
Hopefully we'll see you
soon.
You're
welcome. I hope to see you soon.
Hopefully we'll get back over there.
Have a great night.
Take it easy.
Thank you,
guys. Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye.
That was cool getting to talk to Paula, kind of hear about how she goes about promoting all these bands she likes. Also, it was cool because I almost completely forgot about that show, the first one, in with Asking. It had like escaped me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that show was awesome.
That show it was really fun.
That was the reason
it was a nightmare to load in and out, but
I would rather do that one than the headlining show we did. Remember that one? Bus drop plus stairs. Oh my god. That was rough.
That did suck.
Loadout was fun. Oh, that was where the police showed up, the Poland police, because we were all out in the street, remember? And Tim was like, everybody back on the bus, everybody get back on the bus now. You're like, all right, Dad.
Eyes just peeled back.
Hadn't slept in days.
Days, no sleep. Yeah. I miss him, man. Knew what he was doing with sound.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, great sound engineer. Awesome.
Yeah, I remember I felt like me and him butted heads on the first day a little bit, just because I could tell he was overwhelmed a little bit when I think back on it. But he was also like, he was fucking harping on how I was tuning my drums. I've never had anyone do that before.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
He was like, you have a weird note coming out of your snare. Can you fix that? And I was like, what?
Oh, yeah.
I've never had a sound guy ask me that. And I was like, a note? Okay. And I just started turning shit. And he's like, that's good. I was like, All right. Holy shit.
He's a really good sound engineer.
Oh, dude. He made a sound fucking sick. He made a drum sound so good.
He was really good. He literally was like another band member, but like the one who cares the most about the sound. it was so sick.
So I had so many good conversations with him in the lounge, the downstairs lounge, late nights.
Shout out Timmy boy.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Tim Bickford. Hope you're doing good, brother. And Camille, too.
Camille boy.
That's Camille who boy. We found Tim through.
Camille boy. Boy.
The boys.
All right. So up next, we've got Uncle Joe. Joe. We call him Uncle Joe. He's been he's also been a supporter of us for a while. He always brings the fam out. Last time I saw him, he brought his daughter and a friend along with him too. So that was cool. He's always
and his son.
Mm-hmm. And his son. Yeah. So all right.
Joe Jr.
Yeah, Joe Jr. Yeah, that was a good night, actually. Well, I had a rough night, but it got better. All right, I'm bringing him
was
in.
Was that in New York?
Yeah, New York. That was when I had the little accident.
Oh, yeah.
A different. that sucked, dude. Hey, what's up, Joe?
What's up?
Uncle Joe.
How's it going?
I'm good.
We were just talking about the last time. Was it the last time we were in New York when we all went to a bar after? No, it was the time before that.
Yeah.
Was it our last night tour?
Yeah, that was our last night. That's right.
That was when you were moving the van and you got in that altercation with
guys who tried to
scam you into paying some instead of calling it into insurance, just pay them the money.
Yeah. The guys were like, how about you just give me $3,000 bucks and we'll just call it even. I was like, dude, I have $300.
Yeah. That I remember. You're like, the other sorry, thing man. Was when you finally called the cops and they looked at your license and you were saying,
above all.
So we were
dude, Matt, you have to tell that.
Oh my God. Did I tell? I think I told the story.
You told it on one of the podcasts.
On one of them.
Oh, you did. Okay.
But I didn't get into too much depth. Like, I was like afraid at that time because, like, it's all cleared up now. But at the time, I didn't know what was going on. So I was like, am I like on the run technically or what? Yeah, but, you know, so I was like, I don't really want to talk about this publicly. But so let me, I'll just tell a story. We don't have any time limit. So whatever. And, so I was moving the van. This was on our last night tour in New York, and I never drive in New York. Usually Telly drives in New York, but I think we just needed someone to move the van really quick, and I was there, so I was like, I'll do it. So I'm driving the van down this street. We're in Manhattan, right? That's Manhattan? Where we
Yeah, it's like,
lower Manhattan.
Okay. And this guy is like parked
middle of chaos.
This guy is parked like half in the turn lane, half out of it. And I'm driving, and he opens his door and he sees me coming. He shuts the door. As soon as the van goes by, he thinks he's in the clear. So he opens his door all the way, and the trailer on the van just hits his door. And then I'm like, holy shit, this is crazy, blah, blah, blah. I get out. I tell him, like, hey, I have a parking spot over here. I'm not going to block traffic. I'm going to move. So I leave. And then the guy in front of him literally does the same thing. And I'm just right like, what is going on? So I go park the van.
Two doors.
Oh, did the my same God. Thing.
That's
they
when
parked in a
that was our last night. Okay, that's when I left. I left that show.
You left that night. Oh, that's right.
Right, that was the night you left.
So I go back and I park the van. I run back. These guys are giving Travis like heat. They're like, "Yo, your boy better come back, or we're gonna have issues." Blah blah blah. And Travis is probably ripping his vape like a madman. Just like, he'll be back. He'll be back. So I come running back, and these guys are getting hard with me. They're like, man, they're like, if we were in Brooklyn, bro, like, wouldn't be going down like this, man. Like, you know, they're like trying to get hard with me. And I'm like, I was like, yeah, I'm just going to call the cops. We'll be good. Like, this is what insurance is for. We'll get it figured out. It's not a big deal. And they're like, well, one of them didn't have insurance for sure. The other one, I have no idea. But so they started, as soon as I said I was calling the cops, they started being like, hey, don't call the cops, man. Don't call the cops. They're like, just throw us $3,000 and we'll call it good.
Oh, yeah, I happen to have that right in my back pocket.
Yeah. There you go. Like, and I was tripping out.
And we didn't know at the time, obviously, New York is a no-fault state, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I actually haven't gotten any excellence to find out yet.
So,
knock on wood.
So it is. So, like, the way that they were handling it was, like, super sketch because they basically knew that they were going to have to pay regardless because, like you said, one dude didn't have it. And I think the other car, it was, like, his mom's car or something that.
So I'm sure he, this guy was like, yo, talk to my mother, man. And I was like, what? And he handed me the phone and I was like talking to his mom on the phone. I'm like, hello. And she's like, he's like, we can't pay for this. Please tell me this was your fault, right? Blah, blah, blah. He just kept trying to be like, say, admit it's your fault. And I'm like, no, I'm like, this wasn't my fault, but you know, we'll get insurance involved and we'll be good. You know, it'll all get sorted out. That's what it's for. And then she's just, he's like, oh my, I just gave the phone back to him and he was just like, I don't know. It was just weird that he made me talk to his mom.
Talk to my mom here.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know what you want me to do.
I'm out later than I'm supposed to be. Can you call my mom?
Yeah. I'm like, what? Like, you, what? What is your mom going to do?
Point being, you're never going to drive in New York again.
This is New York, dude. If it was an Italian mom, she'd do a lot, man. She'd probably fine you and beat you up.
Yeah. But yeah, that was just that tarnished New York City for me for a little bit, to be honest. I was just like, dude, I don't like this place. This is too wild for me.
To drive last time.
I'm like, I'm never driving in here again.
Yeah.
But,
we redeemed ourselves though on the last or our last tour we just did in February, right? Was it the same venue as well?
During that.
It was, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
So it's been a minute, but we had a good night that night. I remember us and Joe and your son, we all went out with some of Telly's friends.
Telly's
little bar.
His old roommate.
Yep.
Yeah.
David Marsh.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Some hole in the wall that he took us to. And I got a little hazy after a while there. There were a lot of shots going on. And
I needed it.
That bar, man, I should text him. I'm going to text him actually right now because I want to give a shout out to that bar because it is like a very, like, small, like,
yeah, and but it was really chill and the bartender was really cool. I think at some point we started getting a lot of free shots out of it. But I think
because he started doing shots with us, the bartender started doing shots too. And
after
a while he was just like, oh, here you go.
It's like one of those places where the longer you're there, I'm like, I don't really drink whiskey, and then they start bringing out the whiskey shots, like, I'll have one of those. And throw caution to the wind.
Yeah, that was cool. That was a fun time. But today we so we usually have like a little theme when we have guests on, and today we are talking about our favorite show memories. Like, whether it doesn't have to be us, obviously it could be anything. Some like a show that you went to that was special to you, or one that was just super fun, or one that you were looking forward to for a long time and finally got to go see. Whatever band or artist it was.
How much time do we have?
I'll know when we have 10 minutes. That's it.
I was tipped off to the question ahead of time, and I went through my Setlist.fm to look at all my concerts and see what I could come up with.
That's awesome.
What was kind of interesting is that, so according to this, I've been to, or done somewhere like 322 shows, or 322 bands, like it could be the same show, multiple bands, but for me, like 80% of the shows have been in the last like 9 years, and so for me that's basically, it was 2011, so that's when my kids started getting old enough to go to shows. But they couldn't go by themselves, so I started taking them. So I'll kind of get to that, but it's like my first, you did this on a previous podcast, my first concert was long time ago, and it was the Police.
Sweet.
Opening bands were A Flock of Seagulls and The Fix.
Hell yeah.
That's a sweet store.
I was in high school at the time. That was on the Synchronicity tour. And I'd never been to a show before. It was in actually Rochester, New York.
Okay.
At an old soccer stadium they had there. And it was just freaking crazy. Like, the Police were the biggest band in the world at the time. I'd been a fan for a long time, ever since I was probably like 10 years old. Wow. And my aunt, who was probably like 25, I think she probably had a better time than any of us. She took me and a couple of my high school friends. So I remember bits and pieces of the concert, but I think, like, in thinking about this, It's not so much for me that I remember like, oh man, that concert was like the best thing that I ever saw. Like in the moment or like right afterwards, it's always like, man, that was a great concert. And then I kind of look back at a lot of these and like, I don't know. I'm sure it was a good concert, but I don't remember it being like particularly awesome or I don't remember it being terrible. So I think like you're saying, Matt, for me, a lot of them is just sort of, there was an experience around it or there was like something meaningful about it. Mm-hmm. A lot of them are just like VIPs that I've gone to where the people, you know, the band was really cool and maybe we got to do early entry. And so we're in the front row for the concert. Like I remember a bunch of those, but my first one being the Police, like that's one that I'll never forget. And it was just, it was crazy as a, you know, a young teen. What else I was thinking? Oh, so, but like when I was in high school, my favorite band was U2. And so I was just like a freaking maniac. And I remember, I think it would have been the Unforgettable Fire Tour. So that was like 84-ish, I want to say.
Okay.
And they were supposed to be playing in Buffalo, actually. And the concert was in like April, I want to say. Or no, maybe it was in May. Or sometime early. But I remember on April Fool's Day, this announcement came out that U2 was canceling the concert. And I was going, one of my friends was going, and we thought it was a joke. And it turned out that they actually did cancel the concert. So I finally got to see U2 in 87. That's on their Joshua Tree tour. And at that point, sweet. Like, I mean, I was like the biggest U2 fanatic. Larry Mullen Jr. was like, I love that guy. He'd spiked hair like he did. I wore a jean jacket like he did. And I just like was crazy to see those guys. So I was in college at the time. And we did a road trip to Chicago to see him. And kind of what I remember about that was actually just like the whole trip. There were like four of us that went up there. And I remember on the way we stopped at a record store. And I don't know if you guys have heard of the Replacements. They had a new album that just came out. It was called Please to Meet Me. And they bought the cassette. And then we listened to it in the car on the way to the show. And I didn't really know who the Replacements were at the time, but I was like, this is pretty good. And then they're like, oh, we got to stop at White Castle. And I'm like, what is that? And so they're like, oh my God, you've never been to White Castle. And so I remember going to the drive through White Castle and I didn't know why.
So everyone says to everyone who's not had it.
And they never had these little burgers like the size of a quarter.
And
yeah.
Like, well, I don't get it. But I just remember like stuff like that. You know, the concert, I'm sure the whole time I probably was just like in the clouds. I just, you know, couldn't believe it. Especially like at that time with the Joshua Tree, U2 was just like, they were the biggest band in the world.
They're massive.
That's like an iconic tour.
It was just a great time. But I don't really remember the concert. I just, like, I remember this other stuff.
All the events. So that seems to be like what happened. That, like, usually when we talk about, like a question we get a lot is like, what's your favorite place to play shows at? And it's always so hard to answer because it's like, we could play in like, dude, I don't know. What's it like Jacksonville? But like something could happen there that like is random that takes us down a path that ends up being like really cool, you know? Yeah. So it's always hard. It's always like what happens around the show.
Yeah.
I feel like at least for me, that makes everything more memorable.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
Especially like for me, you know, one of my favorite show memories ever was kind of like that too. It was the experience of the whole thing. So me and my friend that he's who got me into technically like metalcore. He got me into Killswitch, Nemic, like Dark Tranquillity, like a lot of more like European metal bands and things like that I'd never heard of. Had no clue they even existed until him. And he passed away not too long after we started touring. But so like our first concert we went together, we ended up being like concert buddies on top of just like friends in general. But he would always be like, there's this show and it's like however many hours away. Cause like no one played Dayton, Ohio. So every show pretty much we were driving somewhere. Mostly it was Bogart's in Cincinnati, which when we started playing was like why I loved playing there so much because I'm like, this is where I went to see concerts that in my mind were like massive bands. And so like us playing there, I'm like, this is so sick. But there was this venue in Detroit called Harpo's, and we went there. It was like 5.5 hours or so from Dayton, and we went to see Killswitch and a bunch of other bands. And it was the first time I crowd surfed. We were not 21, but we got drunk in the parking lot before the show because we were like, we can't buy anything once we get inside. So we just drank a bunch of beer, probably drank some Jaeger because we were young and probably thought Jaeger was like the best liquor on the planet, which is insane in its own. And then, yeah, we just had like the best time. I couldn't tell you the set list at all. Couldn't tell you like much more than like I just remember singing along to the songs I did know, but like kind of getting lost in the music and the experience of the whole thing. But what I remember most was like road tripping, like driving there, listening to the songs of the bands we were going to see on the way to the concert.
Yeah. And it's timeless.
Like that whole thing was what made it so fun for me and so memorable.
Yeah.
Because we went to a lot of shows over probably like a 2-year period. And that one was even more memorable for me because of like that specific experience. So, I mean, I can't imagine seeing – that was really sick for me. But I can't imagine seeing a truly like timeless band. Like U2 is like – it bridges generations. Like there's –
they'll be around forever.
Yeah, right, like
music will be played literally forever.
It's like Beatles, how like it doesn't matter. They will always be big, and they will always be considered like an iconic, you know, band. So seeing U2 in that would be incredible. I love U2. I think they're one of the best bands of all time.
Oh, Tony's a huge fan. You had like, didn't your dad have like the Joshua Tree DVD or something?
Yeah, well, we had the, yeah, my dad was super into, well, yeah, my dad got me into U2, especially for Joshua Tree. He had all the vinyls from U2. We had, I can't remember, it wasn't Joshua Tree like tour or anything or DVD, but we had some kind of U2 DVD that we'd watch all the time. And like, it was cool. The stage like had this huge catwalk, I think.
Yeah.
And like the stage was like shaped as a heart.
That was their boss. That was a show from Boston. I forget what tour it was, but I know which one you're
talking
about.
Yeah. Yeah. And
they
I saw
one song like vinyls laying on the stage with a
with
girl,
that girl.
Up from the crowd.
Yeah. Exactly. That one where he like with or without you. And he pulls like this girl and he's just like laying on the floor with her and like singing. This girl's just like crying her eyes on, cannot like comprehend that Bono just like brought her on stage and singing this song to her. Yeah, I love that DVD. It was so good. I know I've been to so many concerts, and for some reason I can't like pick a favorite. It's so hard because like you guys have been saying, like the experiences definitely like add a lot to it. I think that one stands out though was when Under Oath released Define the Great Line. I think that was definitely like a really like ground
marquee.
Yeah, it was just a really groundbreaking record for that band and for like our genre specifically. And that was like kind of the early stages of like the Word Alive, I think, after or before the Define.
That was Calling of Sirens. I remember. Tony, you and
yes,
I
right,
like,
yes.
we were at that time
it was
together.
08
yeah.
it came out.
Yeah. So it was definitely a huge influence. It was definitely a huge influence to like, you know, shift from me and Zach's band to the Word Alive. And that I remember just like going and watching them, and they had this crazy production, and I just never see any band like in that genre like look massive. You know, it's always been like in shitty, dirty clubs, and it's just been no barricade. Everyone's in the front row and sweating, and it's just nasty, and it sounds like shit most of the time. So it was like cool to see them at like a really a good, you know, it's a pretty nice venue, especially for a smaller, for Arizona. It's not huge.
It's like 2,500
now,
I think.
It's a good, it's a really good sized theater. And it was just so fucking sick. I mean, we were just watching. They had like, it was just like a real show. You know, it wasn't just like the band performed. They had like
professional.
Like, yeah. It was just super professional. And I was just like, holy shit. Like, I want to do this. Like, I want to be like this, you know, just influence me. And I remember just like getting that feeling, watching them, that just like motivated you, you know, you're just like, oh my God, I want to go home and play, write music. I want to just,
I was at that show.
That's so insane.
I was at that show And I was thinking the exact same thing. I was just about to say before you said that, like, I was at that show, and I remember, like, 15 minutes in, just, like, watching Aaron play drums, I was like, I have to go home and play right now.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to do that, and I need to get to work.
I think that's the like best thing.
How it made me feel.
When you go to a concert. There
in the same crowd thinking the same thing.
It's so nuts.
That's so interesting.
I feel like that's the best feeling, especially being a musician, is going to a show and just getting that, like, you get like the chills almost, or like, you know, you're just like, oh my gosh, like I really feel this. Like I feel everything that's going on right now. And it's like, I want to go home right now and write music. I want to do something like music related right now.
Yeah.
It's really important to have those feelings. I feel like, especially regardless if you're a musician or not, just like going to a concert and music just like brings, it just like blocks out all that
sticks with you.
Yeah. It just blocks out all the chaos and you can like live in the moment and nothing else matters. And you're just like, listening to music, it's incredible.
You can feel it there because it's so loud. Yeah, like you can feel it. You know,
that's such an amazing feeling. Bring back shows, thanks, please. Wear a mask.
Right.
Yeah.
And for me, like in 2011, I was saying is when things kind of changed, getting into more of like the rock metal stuff. But and it started out with like bigger bands, like popular bands. But over time, it's been, you know, I've spent more of my time than in the smaller clubs. And I agree, like there's just something about going to the shows, especially in the smaller clubs, where it's just like the energy that's in those places, and like you totally get lost in the crowd and the music. And you know, I don't necessarily get in the mosh pits. I like being on the fringes of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like that's getting jostled around a little bit, and you know, having people crowd surfing over you. Sometimes you see them, sometimes you don't. But
yeah,
you know, there's an etiquette to it. You pick people up. Like that whole thing, like, you know, when you're at a U2 concert or a Police concert or something, like it's a totally different experience, not better or worse necessarily. Yeah. But there's, you know, it makes me wish I could actually play an instrument when I get out of some of those shows. But
yeah, but I feel
but,
like
but it, I was saying in 2011 when the first big one for me was Avenged Sevenfold and Stone Sour.
Sick.
Nice. And that's because my son, you know, this is like, I think for a lot of kids, like the entryway into rock or metal is probably they liked like Linkin Park or Breaking Benjamin. You know, and that sort of started opening the doors. And so, you know, I think my son had a friend who had a brother who was a little bit older who got the friend into it. And then I just remember my son saying like, oh yeah, man, like this band Avenged Sevenfold. And I was like, Vengeance times seven? Like I couldn't remember what their name was. Like, what are you talking about? And then I saw that this was on their Nightmare Tour. And it was like the second leg of the Nightmare Tour. And I saw that they were coming around near Boston, and I got him and his friend a ticket for Christmas. And I remember the night before the concert, I was like, I don't know anything by these guys. I don't even know who they are. And so I got on YouTube and I started watching videos of Avenged Sevenfold and Stone Sour. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah.
Like, it was just like screaming and like guitars, and it was loud, and
drums are fast.
I mean, it's just so different from what I was listening to at the time. And I remember in Stone Sour, then somehow I discovered, oh, there's a couple guys from Slipknot, like that's really cool. And we got to the show, we had pretty good seats off to the side, and I just remember, like, first I was like the oldest guy there, but second, like, it was the energy in that place. It was a small arena, so there's probably, I don't know, 5,000 to 7,000 people, but it was like people were just going crazy the whole time. And, you know, I was watching down on the floor, and again, the mosh pits, the crowd surfing. But I also like realized these guys are actually good musicians. Like,
yeah,
you know, technically, whether it's Stone Sour or Avenged Sevenfold, like they are really good musicians. It's not all screaming. There actually are melodies. And the drums, like, if I could play an instrument, it actually would be drums. So I'm always like really focused on what the drummers are doing. And then like the double bass pedal, like I couldn't wrap my head around it, but that like made me realize this, there's something about this music that actually, you know, I was one of those people who were like, oh, that's just noise. And then I experienced it for myself and it was totally different. And then from that point on, you know, like I said, I've just been going to tons of shows, a lot of them with my kids. And it's been great for us. It just gives us a chance to connect, and we've traveled to a lot of shows together.
That's awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, you know, it's been, so I have a ton of memories that really are kind of in the more recent time frame that all sort of started from that one, you know, that first sort of metal show with Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
It's really, really cool how metal has like kind of, I don't know, just starting to make its way. Well, it's been, but getting the more respect and like appreciation as time goes, it's more acceptable. Cause I remember when like I was younger and I was playing like in like punk bands and stuff growing up when I was like 13 years old. And then once I got to like my teen, like my later teens, you know, 15, 14, 15, 16, I was just like really into like the more heavier stuff. You know, I think one of the first bands I heard that was like underground, but like screaming, you know, that didn't have like a huge following was like this band called Poison the Well. And just like, man, I want to play this style of music. Like I just like felt it for some reason. I was like, I want to do this. And it's crazy. Like remember showing my dad and my mom, like, my next band where it was like screaming and like just chaos. And they were like so supportive beforehand, like being in like a punk band. Cause we like, we're just singing, we were kids and it was like funny songs, you know? Yeah. And then like, I went and showed them this and they were just like, came to one show and they were like, yeah, okay. I was like kind of confused by it, but my parents have always been so supportive and I'm so thankful to have that support from them. No matter what I do, they're always back me. But time goes on, you know, time has gone by and my dad's like gets, you could tell that he like he just cares, you know, and he'll like go and do like the research of like some bands and stuff and be like, yo, have you ever heard of this band called whatever, blah, 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 but they're like a metalcore band or something. And I'm like, yeah, like we've toured with them before. He's like, that band fucking rocks. They kick ass. And now my dad's like, yeah, this shit's sick. I like, you know, he likes heavy music too. You know, he's like, this is some badass shit. Like, yeah, you ever listened to, what's the band that he told me? I was just like totally shocked that he like was listening to. Oh, God, it's going to drive me nuts. Meshuggah. Yeah, I think it was Meshuggah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it was.
Wow. It's like,
I think it was Meshuggah. He's like, have you ever heard of Meshuggah before? And I'm like, yeah, they're like the gods of metal. Like, they're so sick. He's like, yeah.
Originals.
Yeah, he's like.
Of djent.
Yeah, he's like, your Uncle John went and saw them. He showed me them. He said they were fucking sick. And he's like, I listened to the song and it was insane. Or I don't know, but he was just like super into it. I was like, hell yeah, Dad. And it's like cool to see it's more accepted, you know?
Yeah, it's so funny. Like, if you're friends with someone on Spotify, you can see what they're listening to.
Oh, really?
And the other day, because I'm friends with my mom on Spotify. So the other day, I pulled up Spotify. My mom was listening to Memphis Mayfire.
What?
So, yeah, dude. I was like, what the hell? All right. She found it. Awesome. Must have just stumbled across them somewhere.
Yeah. It's so funny. It's crazy, dude. Like, how our parents and stuff, like, what kind of music, you know, that they listen to that influence us to become musicians or influence us just to like what music to listen to.
Yeah.
My mom, it's crazy because my dad's always been like an old school rocker, went to hundreds of concerts growing up. So I got that from him. My mom, I don't even know if my mom listens to music. I couldn't tell you like one artist that my mom genuinely loves. It's so weird. She like listens to, she likes disco. Like my mom would be like, at the skating rink on her roller skates, like to disco music, just like dancing and stuff. She's gonna kill me if she hears this.
I love disco. Honestly.
Oh no, it's
one of the first tapes I ever bought was a disco compilation.
Oh no, I love disco too, but it's just like she didn't have any bands or anything that like influenced me. It was always my dad when it came to music and stuff. But
yeah,
that's funny.
Well, it's cool. I mean, I think in one thing Joe said too, like about just like until you see it live, like. A lot of people don't really understand it and they definitely don't appreciate it as much. But once you see it live, it's hard to go to a show like that, especially one. I mean, I'm assuming Avenged Sevenfold, you know, they've always been the kings of like having really awesome production too. But it's like seeing a show like that, seeing a production, seeing the way people react and so many people probably smiling and having the best time. It's like, how can you see that and then be like, yeah, no, I don't get this. Like, it's like, I think you at least get it and you're like, okay, this might not be my thing, but it's still like the energy is undeniable.
Yeah.
Like you can't look at a bunch of people losing their minds and not think that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is. You'd be like, this isn't for me, but this is sick that these people react this way, and you want to find that for yourself, you know, maybe. But I think that's why shows in general are so important to go and support and see a band you like, because to me, I'll never really say I love a band until I see them live. And once I see them live, that's what, like, the final piece of the puzzle where I'm like, yep, I'm going to be a fan for life for this band. Like, definitely. Obviously when I was younger, there, I loved bands, and it's what drew me into going to see them. Like, I loved Deftones years and years and years before I got to see them live. But seeing them live only reinstilled that love, like, to be like, dude, this is like my favorite band. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's always cool when people come to, you know, our shows. Just since I see we got the 5-minute warning here. Like, one of my favorite shows we ever played was the Helsinki headlining show we played.
Yes.
Our last headlining tour.
Yeah.
Because it was one of the first times I felt on stage and I could see in the crowd what you're talking about. Like, when like a whole entire crowd is into it for the entire show. Like, we've had some really good shows and we have great moments and in so many shows, but that show was from the moment we started until we got off stage was incredible. Like, almost every single song was sang the loudest I've ever heard it sang. And it was one of those shows where I'm like, you could have told me the worst news ever right before, and I would have forgotten about it on stage because I just got so lost in it that it was like the only thing that existed was that show and in that moment. And to me, live music is the only thing that like truly like makes you feel that way. And so that's why having like this talk about what your favorite shows are, I'm like, everyone who's gone and seen music, I think like probably understands like what it's like to go to a show that like makes you feel something and it stays with you. It lingers and you're like, man, either I want to go see more concerts or I want to pick up a guitar or like, oh, I've never really appreciated music even on this level until seeing it. Like, there's so many aspects that you can walk away from a show and it's impacts your life positively.
Yeah. If I could just mention real fast, I know we're running out of time, but you know, so my first show where I saw you guys, we actually were supposed to see you, I don't know when, it might've been 2015, and it was, I think, Motionless in White, and you guys like got stuck in Europe or something and couldn't make it.
Oh, Boston.
Boston.
Oh my God.
We missed it. That actually, I'd say mostly technically it was my fault.
We missed it because it was one of, we were so tired.
We got time zones mixed up and which airport we were supposed to be at and all this stuff. And we went to the wrong airport too late. And
we all could have, anyone could have checked the email. You know what I mean? Like, we were just like, we were all so zonked, and then we wanted, you know, it was misfortunate. Definitely. Yeah. Unfortunate.
So it ended up being 2017. I think it was Parkway Drive and Wage War at the Huntington Theater in Long Island.
Long Island, yeah.
And my daughter actually had a dance recital in Boston that day. And so me and Joey were at the dance recital. And as soon as that thing ended, we got in the car and drove to the concert in Long Island. But for me, like, so that's when I was like starting to get into you guys. Joey got me into, of course. So that was like, you're wrapping up the Dark Matter tour at that point, I think.
Yeah.
So what I really remember about it, though, is after you guys were done, like, you're saying, okay, you know, be hanging out at the merch booth. And because a lot of the shows I've been to are like bigger bands, like Avenged Sevenfold doesn't go to their merch booth, or Bullet for My Valentine doesn't do that. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
He's going to hang out at the merch. Let's go check it out. And like, Joey goes to a lot of the Warped tours. So like, he was meeting bands all the time. And I was like, what's going on here? And we went down and we met Telly and took pictures and was just chatting. And I was like, this is really cool that like this guy is actually like hanging out and meeting people. Like, the, again, like the idea to me was so foreign. And so that was, I think, part of, well, the concert was great and I knew the song. So like, it made, you know, made a lot of sense. Like, these are actually really nice guys too. So I think that helped, just, you know, as we've gone along now and seen you 10 times or however many it's been.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just a memory that sticks with me. It was kind of first time seeing you and then meeting you guys.
We appreciate it.
Well, that's awesome.
Very nice of you, man.
Yeah, we've always tried to, you know, remember that we would be nothing without, you know, the people going to our shows and our fans and whatever. And there's not like a ego in our band. We want to just be, you know, we all enjoy music together. Let's all hang out and appreciate together. So we appreciate your support, Joe.
Accessible, so yeah, I think all your fans appreciate that.
Well, that's awesome. Well, we're under a minute. Yeah.
So we can wrap this up in a minute here.
Yeah.
Right. Do our best.
Yeah. Well, good talking to you guys. Yeah. Dude, thank you so much, Joe, for being a part of it and supporting us on Patreon and everything else you do.
Yes.
It's obviously greatly appreciated.
Love you guys.
No problem. Yeah, you guys are great.
Tell Joey we say hi.
Yeah, tell the fam. Yeah. Stay safe and stay healthy.
All right, dude. Have a great night.
See you later.
See ya.
And we are wrapping here another episode of the TOA Family Hour podcast. Thank you so much for our guests coming from Patreon. And we'll see you on the next episode.
Peace.
Take care, guys.
See you guys.
Later.